As we look to continue our chapter 49, we've gone through two aspects of this chapter in talking about the servant. And the last part of the chapter, we stopped around the 13th verse. And in stopping around the 13th verse, I was able to at least try to bring out that the servant of God is so similar, even if he's a child, to just being like a servant, a slave, but that the family of God, we're supposed to manifest into our sonhood and move from being the child that's still treated like the servant, that it has no power, no rights, being limited from what is given to him, and that the world is waiting for it. God wants us to become the manifest sons of God. And in building from that, I want to show that God has shown in his scripture to those that are in his family that I will help you manifest all of my will as true sons of God. We stopped at the 13th verse of Isaiah 49 where it says, "Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth. And break forth into singing, O mountains." So Yahweh has comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted. As we see, and as we talked about on Saturday, we talked about the earnest expectations of the creation. King James will say creature. It waits for the manifestation of the sons of God, because the creation was set into bondage. King James will say vanity. Some versions will say futility, but that was because what Adam did, a son of God who made himself be put out of the garden, and the earth was cursed because of what he did. And according to the writings of the Apostle Peter, who was trained by Jesus, Peter said, whatever man is overcome by, that is what he's in bondage to. So the earnest expectation of the creature, it waits for the manifestation of the sons of God to the glorious liberty of the sons of God. Many need to be brought out of darkness into marvelous light, and not to rebuild on everything that I did on Sabbath, but just to show where we came from. And the 14th verse, which I did not go into, but it says, "But Zion said, Yahweh, the Lord has forsaken me, and my Lord has forgotten me." If you notice the differences in the spelling, sometimes you may not catch that, but if you look at it where it says, "and my Lord," that's a different word there. That's the one that's over. It's, the word is called Adon, or sometimes they use the word Adonai. So I just thought I would bring that up. Yahweh has forsaken me and my Lord has forgotten me. One of the things that you look at that passage and you will wonder, why does it make that break? Well, as the servant of God, we realize that there was a commission given. We've gone through 40 up until now, and we see as we started in this chapter, it looks as if something great was going to happen. He was telling the islands, hearken, and been called from the womb, mentioned by name. I'm equipped with the sharp sword. I'm like an arrow that's going to be used by the servant. And then he says in verse 3, "You are my servant, O Israel, whom I will be glorified." And we showed, or at least I showed, that this is going to be talking about the Lord Jesus. And I also mentioned that there's a particular time where we talk about a remnant, but there is some of this is only going to be performed and fulfilled by him. And the only way that others are going to be able to be a partaker of the fulfillment of this is to be in him. And I showed that in 2 Corinthians 5, where the familiar scripture in the 17th verse talks about when a man is in Christ, he becomes a new creature, or anyone. And it shows that all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by the Lord Jesus. So if we look and we see that this is the servant, the one that is abhorred by the nation, the one that is mistreated, and yet we see that there comes a time when the sons of God will be manifest. When I was in Galatians last week, I showed that because of what Christ did, and God sending his own son when the fullness of the time was come, that acceptable time that we talked about when God would help, when God sent forth his son made of a woman made under the law to redeem us that were under the law so that we could receive the adoption of sons. This was what the world is waiting for. You make a change here when it says, Zion has said, but the Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me. And let's not ever forget that there's a reason that God is forsaken. When we look in the book of Joshua, Joshua had told the people from the mouth of God, if you forsake the Lord, he will forsake you. And when it says, my Lord has forgotten me, let's not forget what the Bible has taught about individuals that have had the opportunity to live and do God's will. When they turn their back on the Almighty, they put themselves in the position that God will have to hold back from them. I'll give you one illustration and then I'll make my point. There was a man of God during the time when Israel had gotten to the place that they had turned their back from God again, and God was getting ready to raise up another judge. And he raised up, it looks like, maybe two judges around the same time. One in Dan, that one we're looking at named, what is his name, Samson. And then the other one is going to be Samuel. I wanted to get the name so they start with an S in, confused. But Hannah is going to be able to have a baby because God is getting ready to do what he's going to do to bring the nation out of the doldrums. But listen to what the prophet that came to Eli, the high priest, said at this particular time. And it says in the 27th verse of the 27th verse of the second chapter of 1 Samuel. And there came a man of God to Eli and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, did I not plainly appear unto the house of thy father when they were in Pharaoh's house? Eli was the servant of God. He is considered the highest servant of God at this time. He is the one, the only one that could go into the place on the Day of Atonement to have the sins of the people redeemed. He is the only one that is walking around that can wear the ouches on his shoulder that would cover the children of Israel, six names on each representing the 12 tribes, and can have the breastplate. Eli is the high priest, but his sons are doing wickedly, they're doing ungodly. And Eli has put his sons above God insofar as that, as the servant of God, I'm not going to use the sword of my mouth. I'm not going to execute the judgment that's necessary because these are my sons. I'll just tell them and let them do as they feel. So the man of God came to Eli, that we don't even have his name, but he's starting to give the record of how it is that you were supposed to have walked before me. And it says, when they were in, I'm going to read it again. It says, and a man of God came to Eli and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, did I plainly appear to your house, to the house of your father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? And did I not choose him out of all of the tribes of Israel to be my priest and to offer upon mine altar and to burn incense? In other words, to be able to approach me, to be able to take the sins of the people and have them dealt with, and to offer incense as prayer before me, and to wear the ephod before me. And did I give unto the house of thy father all the offerings made by fire? Didn't I allow you to eat part of my meal, part of the offering? I did. That's the rhetorical question. The answer is yes. Verse 29, wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and mine offering? Why do you make it as if my offering is not that much? Why do you despise? That's what kick is talking about, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honorest thy sons above me, to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all offerings of my people. You know, as a little sidebar, we're not getting too far away from this passage, often in the what is called the prosperity message that we hear today, they make people tithe, offering, first fruit, and they really, really beat the people into giving, giving, and giving, and they kick at the Lord's sacrifice so that they can have a bigger jet, a bigger house, a bigger doghouse for their dog, walk around with the black platinum credit card or whatever. And this is the kind of thing that was going on there. And it says, verse 30, wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I indeed said, or I said indeed, that thy house and the house of my father, I'm saying it wrong, and the house of thy father would walk forth before me forever. I'm acknowledging that I said that. I'm acknowledging that I said that your house and the house of your father will be able to stand before me forever. But now, the Lord said, if we don't understand that even God's promises are conditional upon you not going back on what he says for you to do, we're going to be one of those that saying the Lord has forsaken me. And it says, wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me. Them that honor me will I honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. You honor me and you see me as big. You see me as honorable of value. That's the way I'll see. I mean, that's the way you see me. I'll see you that way. Oh, would to God that we would learn to see God in his magnificence. Oh, would to God that we would begin to look and see God of great value and begin to honor him and honor his word as much as we seemingly honor our thoughts and our culture and what we call the spirit. So when we go right back to where we were in the 13th verse, when it says, but Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. The only way that God will forsake an individual or a group is that that individual forsakes him. And when it says, the Lord has forgotten me, when you feel that you're small in God's eyesight and you feel that God has not seen you, when you're in captivity or have been in captivity like these people, and when you're receiving the just fruits of your work, and you want to say that the Lord has forgotten you, go back and ask yourself, and this is what this servant should have done. How have I looked at God? Have I honored God or have I lightly esteemed him? But God said in the 15th verse, can a woman forget her sucking child? The question is, can a woman do that? Can she forget her sucking child? Somebody might say in the old days they couldn't. Yes, they could. They could. And especially in our ungodly, unrighteous, believe you can do anything you want to outside of God's will, killing babies in the womb, bringing them halfway out of the womb and crushing their head, calling it partial birth abortion, having presidents and schools and governmental officials and preachers saying it's okay to do abortions. They can forget the sucking child. Somebody said the child is not sucking it. The child gets his life from the mother. Believe that. Well, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yes, she may forget. But the word of God said, I will not forget thee. Even in the midst of your chastisement, even in the midst of you growing smaller because you've ignored me, my remedy for you is that I have to smite, but I heal. I give you chastening, I give you scourging because I haven't forgotten you. But you think that when I do my chastening and when I do the very thing that causes you to call back on me that I've done you wrong, but it's because you're looking from the bottom as the transgressor, as the one that's ignorant, as the one that's not all-knowing, as the one that don't know the end of the thing from the beginning, as the individual created as opposed to the one that's the creator, as the one that's dependent instead of the one that's independent, as the weakling to the Almighty, and you think that your way is right. Your way is wrong. I will not forget. So if I have to chasten you to get your mind right, I'll do what's necessary. Verse 16 says, behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. I have graven, I have inscribed you in the palms of my hands, your walls, your protection, your safety. is continually before me. Listen to that. God uses the imagery of hands in that he has graven the servant, Israel, his children, on the palms of his hands. How can I forget? Whereas I have a thing called Billy Burden. It's a memory. It's actually a memory course. And on the front of it, it has this man with his one finger stuck up in the air with a string tied on a bow. He is saying that better than a string tied to my finger, I've graven you on the palm of my hand. And your walls, your source of protection, are continually before me. One thing that I will say on this, number one, is that when you say the walls are before me, this is encouraging that your protection, your safety, your boundaries are continually before me. But never let God's encouragement ever make you think that he's not still God. Because I can look at your protector and I can show that there's a breach there. And your breach is how you treat me. But the thing is that once God is chastened and once God has done what he's going to do and he said it's enough, then he goes back to rebuild. Think back, you all, when we read in the book of Jeremiah. What did he tell Jeremiah? Jeremiah, I have sent you to tear down and to pluck up. But then after you do that, you tear down that which is false, you tear down that which is not good, then you pluck up that which I didn't plant. And do you remember the day that we were reading something, I think in Matthew chapter 15, and it was in Matthew 15 and maybe Mark 7, where the disciples and Jesus had dealt with the Pharisees when they wanted to honor their traditions above God's word, and by their tradition they made the word of the commandment of God of none effect. And the disciples came back to Jesus and said, did you not know that the Pharisees were offended at what you said? And Jesus went back to that same kind of thing like Jeremiah. Every tree that my heavenly Father did not plant, he will pluck it up. So what we need to see is, although God is coming to do and inscribe in the hands and you have your protection, don't take him for granted. Don't violate him, because he knows how to pluck up those that will not allow him to get them to produce. Verse 17, your children shall make haste. Now, when you see this, children make haste, they'll be quick. It's kind of problematic to understand, are you saying that the children are going to run and they're going to be impetuous? Well, if we look at the rest of that 17th verse, it may well be that this is on the throes of what God is getting ready to do for them. Let me show you. I've graven you on the palm of my hands. Your walls of your protection are continually before me. Your children will make haste. They will be quick. They'll either be impetuous. Then it says, thy destroyers and they that made thee waste shall go forth from thee. Now, what we're seeing here is a fiat. What we're seeing here is the providential care of God. What we're seeing here is God helping to make the sons of God manifest. One, you can forget me. Two, you can forsake me. I will forsake those that forsake me. I will forget those, or I will lightly esteem those that will not like, that will lightly esteem me. But those that will return, as we talked in the earlier part of Isaiah, Shir Jashub, those that will return to me and be a remnant, those I will remember, those I have graven on my hands, those that will do like I said, their children will make haste, but the destroyer that destroyed thee or made waste of thee will leave. In other words, I have the ability to take the very ones that have breached your walls, the very ones that have brought you into bondage, the very ones that have caused you problems, I will be able to make them go forth from thee. In other words, I am your Savior. I am your deliverer. I am the one that strengthens you to manifest yourselves as the sons of God and not just a servant. Because remember, the servant, according to Galatians, and the child, they can be the same one. But at one point, the child doesn't differ at all from the slave until the appointed time of the father. Obviously, there may be a time that some are not appointed to that sonhood. Now listen to what he says in this, in verse 18. He says, lift up your eyes round about and behold. It's like doing the same thing twice. Look up and behold. All these gather themselves together and come to thee. As I live, saith Yahweh, thou shalt surely clothe them with them, surely clothe thee with them all as an ornament, and bind them on thee as a bride doeth. 19, for thy waste and desolate places and the land of thy destruction, for thy waste and thy desolate places and the land of thy destruction shall even now be too narrow by reason of the inhabitants, and they that swallowed thee up of thee shall be far away. I want to read that in NASB, because there are some stuff in NASB that the way that comes out, especially when I get to verse 20 and 21, I want us to be there. So it says in NASB, the same two verses, lift up your eyes and look around, and all them that gather together, they shall come to you as I live, saith the Lord. You shall surely put on all of them as jewels and bind them on as a bride. For your waste and desolate places and your destroyed land, surely now you will be too cramped for the inhabitants, and those who swallowed you up will be far away. When God determines to help his servants to be manifest sons of God, and I've moved from it being just Christ, and I'm moving now into where God is allowing those that are in him, or those of the remnant, to be able to see what God has done. He has not forgotten them. The very ones that destroyed you are now going to be part of your ornaments. The very ones that were controlling and had ran over you, those of the isles, if you look at the first verse that the word was coming, I am going to reverse what was going on. You don't have the ability to do it. And so I'm going to gather them together, and they will be a dressing for you. They will be jewels for you. You will bind them on as a bride. Now, I don't fully understand the full significance of this, but I do know that at least the high priest would bind on jewels, and he would bind certain things on to be a light or a representative to God for the children of Israel. And God is saying you're going to be able to be decorated with those that once destroyed you. And in the latter part of the 19th verse, surely now you will be too cramped for the inhabitants. And those who swallowed you up, you're going to grow. You're going to expand because of me when you manifest. As a matter of fact, verse 20, I'm going to read it from NASB. It says, the children of whom you were bereaved, notice, bereaved, because I went from the authorized version to this one, because you have to look behind the English to get that bereaved. Let me show you what I mean in the authorized version. The children which thou shalt have after you lost the other. See where it says lost the other? You might not really know they're talking about bereavement. Shall say again in thine ears, the place is too straight for me. Give place that I may dwell. Then shalt thou say in thine heart, who has begotten me these? Seeing that I have lost, hold that word in your mind, lost my children, and am desolate, a captive, and removing to and fro. And who has brought up these? Behold, I was left alone. These? Where had they been? Again, in NASB to get a clearer understanding, because I've looked behind the English and I saw that this was good enough that I don't even have to go behind it. The children of whom you were bereaved will yet say in your ears, notice, the children of whom you were bereaved will yet say in your ears, the places do cramp for me, make room for me that I may live here. Then you will say in your heart, who has begotten these for me, since I was bereaved of my children and am barren, an exile and a wanderer. And who reared these? Behold, I was left alone. From where did these come? Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will lift up mine hand unto the nations, and set my standard or my banner to the people, and they will bring your sons into their bosom, and your daughters will be carried on their shoulders. I am going to make the nation bring you children. I am going to allow you, because you are my servant, because you have been refined, because you have gotten your mind right, because you have learned who I am, and as you become manifest as the sons of God, I'm going to call the nations to look upon you favorably. It's not your own doing. You didn't have power to deliver yourself from the Assyrians. Ahaz wouldn't listen. You didn't have the power to deliver yourself from Babylon. You didn't have enough power to deliver that. I did. That was Cyrus. You did not have enough power to deliver yourself from Egypt. And I'm still the same God when I see fit that I want to manifest my sons to the world. I still have the ability to do that. Would to God that we, the children of God, would be faithful and that we would trust God and hold on to him and let him manifest us to our families. Let him manifest us on our job. Let him manifest us to our wives or our husband. If we have been outside of God's will and have to be chased, that he can manifest himself through us as a son of God to our community and to our world. Here to these people, he said he's going to make, in the 23rd verse, kings will be your guardians and their princes your nurses. Or your princesses, your nurses, they will bow down to you with their faces to the earth and lick the dust of your feet. And you will know that I am the Lord. Those who hopefully wait for me, I will not put to shame. No doubt, people like Isaiah during this time frame, no doubt people like Jeremiah, maybe 100 years so after this, people like Micah that was writing around the same time and that was still trying to hold on to God, was really feeling the heat of God's judgment on the people that were doing wrong, when God was having to take the whole head that was sick from the crown of the head to the sole of the feet and administer an operation to cut out the cancer or to remove the tumor or to bind up the wound or whatever was taken necessary to do some healing. Those people are having to sit there and wait on God, but he is saying to those that are the remnant, to those that understand that God has a process that he promised would take place, to those that were wicked and ungodly, that turned their hearts around to realize that we are supposed to really be servants of God, and yet, even when some of these turn back, they will still fail, and ultimately it would have to be in the one that we'll get to in chapter 53, that will be the total servant, that will be able to deliver the people from the blindness and the darkness. But at least at this particular juncture, these people will get a chance to see that God has the ability to turn their, what they call, fortunes, situations around. So much so that when I do and manifest myself through you and you're shown as sons of God with my help, kings and princesses will begin to see who you are. Let me read it again to be fair for those that read the authorized. Verse 23, and kings shall be your nursing fathers and their queens thy nursing mothers. They shall bow down to thee with their face toward the earth and lick up the dust of thy feet. That's pretty subservient, because normally whenever in the ancient world somebody captured you, they would put their foot on your neck and show that you were under them. And it says, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. For they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. In the midst of what's going on in our country, in the midst of what we have going on in what is so-called church, are we going to wait for the Lord? Are we going to wait for the Lord to do the thing that he said that he's going to do? Are we going to wait for the Lord to use his strong and mighty power to deliver? Listen to what the 24th verse says, and we can see how the Lord is going to help his children be manifest sons of God. Verse 24, for some, it may seem like this doesn't fit, but it does fit. Listen to it. Can the prey be taken from the mighty man, or the captives of a tyrant rescued? Because, you know, when you're talking about a mighty man, you're talking about somebody strong. The word there is gibor. But then the captives of a tyrant be rescued? God had done it in Egypt. God did it during different times throughout the book of Judges. God showed that he will show that he can do it from the Babylonians. But how much so when we talk about the servant of God and what he want to do for his people, shall we not look and see how the Lord Jesus, the epitome of the perfect servant, the manifest Son of God. I like the way Romans said that he was the son of David according to the flesh, but declared to be the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead. Listen to what happened in a dialogue in Matthew chapter 12, verse 12, pretty good. It says, then was brought, I'm almost sure this is 12, I have to make sure I get away that my computer set up, and maybe verse 22. It's 22, I'm sorry you all, please forgive me. It says, then was brought, 12:22, then was brought unto him one possessed with the devil, blind and dumb. This is some of the things that the servant was going to do anyway. And he healed him. He was possessed with the devil. Let's not forget that. He was blind and dumb. That means he was in bondage. It says, and he healed him in so much that the blind and the dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, is this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Talking about now, not after the last day, not after the last trumpet. But listen to the question that he makes after this powerful statement. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come unto you. Or how else can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods? Except he first bind the strong man, then he will spoil the house. Now let's go back to where we were looking in the 24th verse. Can the prey be taken from a mighty man? Yes. Yes, if you have the servant of God with the Spirit of God that can come in and bind the strong man, he can spoil the strong man. He can take the prey from him. He can set the captives free. And this is what the children of God is supposed to be able to do. That's why when Jesus was raised from the dead, he said, all power is in my hand. And he told them to go forth into all the nations and for them to preach the gospel to every living creature. And told them in Mark, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. He told them in the 8th verse of the 1st chapter of Acts to wait till you receive power. And then you can be the witness of me to do these things. Can the prey be taken from the mighty man or the captive of a tyrant? Be rescued? Yes, I did that when David was just a shepherd boy. He said he took his sheep from a lion. He did that when the men came in and captured the women and they captured the children and the men that were with David, his mighty men, and they captured them and they went away and the men were crying and they went and recaptured their families. How much more shall the Son of David do? How much more are we to bring liberty and the lights to the Gentile of this world? That's the help of God, giving his Spirit to his servant so that his servants will be the manifest sons of God in this land. Verse 25 says, surely saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty men will be taken away, and the prey of the tyrant rescued. For I will contend with the one who contends with you, and will save your sons. Now look at God's pattern. Egypt, I contended with Pharaoh. The Midianites, I contended with them with Gideon. I contended when I had Othniel in there to fight. He was a left-handed man. I had Samson to contend. He was a Danite. I have Samuel to contend. Whenever the Philistines came, I had Samuel. I've had different ones. David, I had him to contend. Israel, you were supposed to be my collective servant. But because you would keep forsaking me and forgetting me, I would have to smite you. And then I'd have to send another deliverer. I would submit to you that this has been God's pattern the whole time, that I would go and bind and I would rescue. I would go and bind and I would spoil the one that was spoiling you. I contend, verse 25, with those who contend, and I will save your sons. But ultimately, if you look at my resume with what I do with the nations that are bigger than you, according to God through Moses, I didn't choose you because you were mighty. I didn't choose you because you were many. You were weak. You were few in number. And according to what I gave the prophet, by the time we get to 2 Chronicles 7, and I think it's 7 and 14. If it's not 7 and 14, it may be 16 and 9 exactly. The eyes of the Lord goes to and fro throughout the whole earth, wanting to show himself strong in the behalf of those that trust him. I chose a little nation to show that I will contend with those that contend against you because you represent me. I did the same thing when Saul was trying to brutalize, lock up, have people put to death that trusted in me. I will save your sons. I can more so save your sons, not just from the different nations. I can save them from the devil. I will send my servant. His number one job is to destroy the works of the devil. He will bind the strong man. He will be the one that will give the Gentiles opportunity to be able to come and be a part of the fold and become the manifest sons of God. And what does God say he will do in verse 26 to those that have oppressed, those who have hurt you? Verse 26 says, and I will feed them that oppress thee with their own flesh, and they will be drunken with their own blood as with sweet wine. And all flesh shall know that I, Yahweh, am Savior. I'm your Savior, your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. This is how the manifest sons of God gets the chance to see it is God that is doing it for them. Yes, you have a work to do. Yes, God comes and binds the strong man. Yes, God said that Satan's kingdom divided against himself can't stand, so you know that it's me. But then I promise you power, and then I tell you to go out, and then I tell you, lo, I am with you even until the end of the age. Then I tell you to cast down every imagination and high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. I've shown you that when I've given you the perfect servant, his word is a sword. He is like an arrow. He shows you who you're supposed to be. The Father is helping you to do it because the remnant that was then is not the remnant that will be during the time God sends his ultimate servant. Verse 26, I will feed your oppressors with their own flesh. You got some fleshly enemies? I will feed them with that. They will be drunk with their own blood as with sweet wine. And the one that penalizes you, brutalizes you, kept you captive, Satan, he will be destroyed upon his own works. His own works will cause him to be cast into the lake of fire where he'll burn forever and ever. And all flesh will know that I, the Lord, am your Savior. Do you think that the world would know more so that God is your Savior when he delivers you from a nation? When he delivers you from a tribe? When he delivers you from a people, or when he delivers you as the manifest sons of God, no more bound by Satan, no more tried by his wicked and ungodly schemes, and that God has lifted you up and you're with him, and Satan is bound away forever and ever. The world will know that I'm your Savior and your Redeemer. I'm the one to redeem you. I'm the Mighty One of Jacob. The family of God ought to know that if they wait on God, he's doing, if they just do what he tells them, what's necessary to cause them to be the manifest sons of God. The biggest problem that people have today is they forsake God. And when he forsakes them, they think that's the end of it. They don't realize that they're stubborn and their arrogance will not allow them to repent. And they make it be the end. They feel like God has forgotten them and he doesn't see them. That's because they lightly esteem his all-powerful eye, his all-powerful knowing, his all-powerful judgment. And they don't realize God wants to protect. God wants to help. But when the individuals that are the service of God will not allow God to help them become manifest sons of God, they'll never, ever reach ultimate sonhood. And they will stop even being the servant of God for good. And they'll be the servant of God to bring out his evil. And when I say evil, it's calamitous and it's judgment upon the wicked so that his word will still be fulfilled. We have a choice. Will we wait on him to let him help us be manifest sons of God? Or will we just be religious and never be manifest as the sons of God? Stop being the servants of God insofar as to do his will to the Gentiles and to the land and bring in and usher in righteousness and to help bind the strong man to wickedness and the things that Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10, where we bind and we bring down every imagination. We'll just be waiting for a rapture for him to do it. We won't be the servants. We'll just be those who's waiting for another handout. We got some choices to make. And for me, I want him to be my redeemer. I want him to manifest me as his son. And whatever that means, whether that means I have to be chastened, if that means I have to be smitten, whatever it takes for him to raise me up that I can be effective for him. With all the blessings he's talking about giving you away, an ornament of the nations and children being given unto me that I can help nurture and bring up and being a light to the Gentile, that I want that. And I believe many of us that do want the same thing will trust him and wait on him. We don't know enough to rush God. Father, thank you for your word. Help us not be arrogant. Help us to realize it's you that's going to manifest anyone, let alone what we call the family of God, to be the manifest sons of God. We could go to church and have Bible studies 1,000 years, but if we're not going to be subject to you, you can't manifest us to be something that we won't allow you to make in us. We can call ourselves your servant and be an unfaithful servant. But we can be a faithful servant and you will manifest us as the Son of God with full inherited rights. That's what we want. That's what we need. Help us, I pray, in the blessed name of your holy child, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Amen. And even so, amen.